think Kylie's 50. Yeah, she's at least just 50 or 51 she is. So you said 47 for Danny. Righto. 47 for Danny Minogue. I wonder if Russell Milton, because he's big in the UK, of course, Danny. All the Minogues, they're massive in the UK. They love all this stuff. Russell might be able to play this game with us as well, a UK correspondent who's on the line. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
Going very well, thank you. Do you know how old Danny Minogue is?
I would guess 45.
45 for you,
46. By the way, lad, you know.
What's that?
Good conversation this, by the way. I don't mind talking about the Minogue sisters.
Yeah, I'm with you, Russ. I've had a thing for them for years. Both of them. No doubt about it. Love them. Well, I can tell you today, send her a text and wish her a happy birthday. Happy 47th birthday.
47.
For Danny Minogue. No, no, sorry, I was right the first time. 49. I've read it wrong. How am I going? I was rattled by Danny. She's 49 today.
Danny Minogue. Kylie older. Kylie's older, isn't she?
Yeah, Kylie's just a year or two older.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they both went to school just around the corner from my place, back in the old days. That's why I bought here, just to be close. Got a problem. I've got a problem, Russ. A
couple of good imports they were, lads. Very good. We can send Jason Donovan back, but we can keep him in those business.
Poor old Jace. What's Jace up? Anyway, we'll top it for another day. Hey, Russ. We had great joy and mirth yesterday when we found out that Tottenham were up 3-0 with 8 minutes to play, and they walked away with 1 point. It's best ever.
Me too, half. It made my weekend. The weekend was pretty good before it, but that was the icing on the cake at the end. Sorry, Whitey. But, 3-0 up Tottenham, cruising, weren't they? And you would expect with 8 minutes to go, they would see the game out. But the curse of Gareth Bale, I think some are calling it. When he was first at Tottenham, it took him 2 years before he had a win. It was 24 games, I think it was. And obviously, you know, he went on to do great things, but he's come back and came on at 3-0. Harry Kane got two, didn't he? And some human. And when 3-0 after 16 minutes, you thought this could be anything. And West Ham were awful. Tottenham were looking really good. And somehow, West Ham got back in with 8 minutes to go, scored from a free kick, gave him a little bit of belief, then got an own goal. And then a wonder goal from, I think it was Landini, right at the end there. Top corner, off the crossbar. Lloris got his hand to it, but couldn't keep it out. And as you can imagine, the scenes of joy were great. I would have loved to have seen Tottenham fans piling out of the stadium then, but obviously there was no fans there. But it was a great comeback for West Ham, and Tottenham have really only got themselves to blame, really, from being 3-0 up with 10 minutes to go.
Now, how many times, Russ, has that ever happened where a team's been 3-0 up with 10 minutes to go and they've not won the game? Is that recent memory? Has that happened?
This is the first time in Premier League history, I think.
Oh, wow. Daniel knew the answer to that. Russell, that's really disappointing. Daniel knew the answer to that because I told him that yesterday.
I'm getting confirmation from our correspondent.
I'll keep loading the gun and I'll keep firing the bullets.
Russ, the interesting thing is, and I mentioned this yesterday, a lot of the commentary around it was that for 60 minutes, Tottenham were a title contender, and then 30 minutes later, they were Tottenham Hotspur again.
Yeah, I think you could sum it up like that. I mean, Tottenham, going forward, certainly very good, aren't they? You know, they've got an array of talent there, and on their game, on their day, they could be right up there. Harry Redknapp keeps tipping them for winning the title this year. You can see City, certainly Liverpool, you know, we might discuss that in a bit, losing Van Dijk. They'll certainly come down a little bit now towards the rest of the pack. I think City have always got that in them where they can concede. And Tottenham are right up there. The only thing with Tottenham, again, like some of the teams, you would say, yes, front half the team, very good. You know, right up there with the top three, four teams. But, the defensive side of the team, you would say, not sure. Sanchez, I'm not sure on. Aurier, I'm not sure on. And Lloris has a mistake in him, doesn't he, now and then? So, midfield-wise, I would say suspect at times. But going forward, yes, top four, you know, material, no problem at all. And I just think Mourinho's got to sort of defensively get him into shape and keep him concentrated for the 95, 96 minutes that whatever a game is. They should be right in there, YT. With the array of talent they've got, you can't see them not being in sort of top five or six. It's just whether they can consistently keep it in, keep concentrated and win games like this. 3-0 up, you should win this game. And they would have been a second at the time and would have gone third after, obviously, Aston Villa won after that.
What did Jose say about it after the game? What was his feedback?
All he said was, I think, he got to say West Ham deserved it. It's football. I think he just put it down to that. He probably went into the dressing room and lambasted his players a little bit as well, because I don't think he would. He certainly wouldn't like that. No manager would. You know, you think the game's won. He wouldn't have liked what happened, what he saw. He's you know, he's renowned for his defensive tactics and masterclasses time after time. This was obviously one that's got away from him, and you know, he wouldn't have liked it. But he did. He was quite magnanimous for him, and he said, you know, get all credit to West Ham. They kept going, got a couple of breaks, and scored a wonder goal to equalise. So you know, that's how he left it, really.
I know it's not as simple as this, but if Tottenham are letting that late goal against Newcastle to a controversial penalty, and then what happened on the weekend, they'd be top. Off, 1 point off top, but that is the way it is. When you look at the table, Russ, it looks weird because you've got Everton and Aston Villa at the top. You've got Chelsea in 7th, Manchester City in 10th, and then Manchester United in 15th, and even Sheffield United in 19th, considering how well they've gone in the last couple of years. It really hasn't settled down yet at any point.
No, with you know, 5 games in, some have played 4. It's been a bonkers start to the season, isn't it? You know, we're averaging 3.64 games, I think it is, I've just seen, goals per game. You know, that's more than a goal a game average, better than any other season. So, wow. You know, it's been a bonkers season. You know, you've had no fans, and obviously I think teams are playing more relaxed. They're playing out from the back. You know, some teams aren't good enough to do it, so they're conceding goals. You know, we've had a 3-0, a 4-1, 2 3-0s this weekend, a 4-1. You know, and to say that we're touching probably 30 goals this weekend is down on most of the week. So it's been a very entertaining start to the season. I hope it continues. But yeah, Everton have started very well, and Ancelotti's working his magic there, isn't he? You know, he's won titles all over Europe, Carlo Ancelotti. They look a very good side. They had an entertaining 2-0 draw with Liverpool. Aston Villa have won 4 out of 4. You know, barely survived last season, didn't they? You know, probably the last kick of the game by a point. They've now won 4 out of 4, look really good. And, it's you know, you go behind that, you've got Liverpool, and you've got Leicester, who lost the last two. You know, they've been in and around it last season. And you've got Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, the 3 big London clubs, and West Ham, is, you know, 8th as well. So it's going to be a good season, I think. And like I've said earlier, with Liverpool losing Alisson, the goalkeeper, and Van Dijk, the two linchpins at the back, you would think that they could be drawn back in with the pack, because they were 20 points clear last season, weren't they? So that would naturally make it a bit more interesting. I think City will obviously be up there. I think you still can't look past Liverpool and City towards the end of the season, but I think it'll be a lot closer than it has been for a number of years.
Yeah, Liverpool, that 2-2 draw with Everton, with Van Dijk going down. What's the damage to Van Dijk? How long is he going to be missing?
Yeah, he's got a nasty knee. He's had the operation already, a knee injury. He hyperextended it. So it's going to be a long one. It's going to be most of the season, if not all the season. I think Jordan Pickford, the Everton goalkeeper, was very lucky to stay on the pitch. It was a sort of scissor kick round his knee. And, you know, you could see from the replays that it was going to be a nasty one. So he's going to be a big miss for him. You know, it's another stat for you with Van Dijk in the team, they can see the goal or less a game. So, you know, you add that up over time, and it's a lot of, you know, they won last season a lot of games by one goal. So, you know, that could be crucial for Liverpool this season. To, you know, they're not going to run away, I don't think, like they did last year, which, like I said, will make it more entertaining. I think Arsenal have improved, Tottenham have improved. Chelsea, a little bit suspect for me. I just think they give too many goals away quite easily, quite a young team. But, it's going to be interesting. And, Liverpool will struggle without their two main men at the back there, I think.
Chelsea gave away 2, that 2-0 up against Southampton, and ended up with a 3-0 draw across the weekend. United 4-1 over Newcastle. Palace and Brighton played a 1-1 draw, as did Sheffield United and Fulham. And Man City 1-0 over your boys, Russ. Arsenal. You talked about Leicester City and Villa before. Villa's 3 points on the road against the Foxes was going to be pretty handy down the track, isn't it, that result?
Yeah, they were good, yeah. They've done well, Villa. They started really well. They surprised a few people. I mean, But the Ross Barkley goal, wasn't it, in the 90th minute, who they signed on loan from Chelsea. Good signing he is. Him and Grealish in that team are very good. You know, two good players that can produce something out of nothing. And I think, you know, a good friend of mine, Dean Smith, is going to hopefully get them back up towards the mid-reaches of the table where they should be by the end of the season. And they signed a young lad, Ollie Watkins, from Brentford, who's a very good player. He scored a hat-trick against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, big things will be expected from him this year. But it's good to see teams like Aston Villa back in. Leeds United, who are playing now, they're back in. You know, those clubs that are traditionally Premier League, you know, sides in England, or Division One sides in England, you know, are back in it and making a good fist of it, which is good to see.
We love it. Speaking of making a good fist of it, you've done that again today with us, Russ. We appreciate your excellence and your awesomeness, and we'll send your best to Danny Minogue for her 49th birthday today.
Pleasure. Thanks, boys. Cheers.